Looking for a title for the message for this this week was the most difficult one of the other aspect. We already have more than a week ago decided what exactly what will be the topic for today. But the title, I struggled with the time, and finally I decided just to copy the title from this text. Pray about everything. So today we'll be answering one of the questions that was sent to us. Pray about everything. The question that we received, and here's the question. Why is prayer so important? The person who wrote this question is not here. Probably went to help make sure that we have a food when we get there down there. It's not Brother Steve, it's somebody else. Sister Helene gave us this. And I put her own writing there, so I was hoping that she would be here. She says, yeah, that's my writing. And it says, why is prayer so important in the life of the believer? This was the question that we received. And this is the highlight that I did this for myself. Is prayer so important in the life of anybody, not just the believer? Is prayer so important? And I use her own writing. This is not, she didn't write this, but I took parts of her writing and I made up this sentence. Prayer is very important in the life of every believer. It is. Now we're going to be looking to the scripture and also a quotation from the Spirit prophecy to know what is really, how vital is prayer. Jesus is our friend. Prayer is the opening of the heart of God as to a friend. Do you have an idea where this comes from? Some of you may be very familiar with this quotation. Here is the lady, so let me go back just to show her her writing. Yes, this is the question that we have. Are you familiar with that writing, sister? Yes, she is, Sister Helene. And so, sister, we just did this. Is prayer so important as a matter of a question? And then we did this. We copied your text and made another sentence with it. Prayer is very important in the life of every believer. Okay? Now, as we were reading, this is a quotation from the Spirit prophecy. Prayer is the opening of the heart of God as to a friend. Now, let me read this again. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Okay? Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. This is Ellen G. White in the Steps to Christ. In chapter 11, you see this statement. It's very well known. Many people memorize this. When I was taking theology, one of our teachers asked us to go through the whole book of A Desire of Ages. We had to read and ask us to even memorize parts of it. And we know that many portions of the Step of Christ is from the Desire of Ages. And this was one of the statements that we have heard many times in our church. Now another one, our prayers. Our prayers should be simple, earnest, and comprehensive. Not just a lot of blah, blah, blah. All right? In other words, let us learn to pray intelligently, expressing our request with a very clear and precision. Let us pray as though we mean it. And this Ellen G. White from our High Calling, page 130. That's what we got this from. Now ask and you will receive. Ask and receiving. One is conditional the other. Don't ask, don't receive. Ask, receive. Very simple. There's nothing. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Now, Matthew 7, 7, everyone can memorize this. It's very easy to remember. Now, have you noticed one thing? I put this in this position so you could see something that will be always in your mind. There you go. You see the ask, the search, and the knock. It forms ask. The asking is so vital, so important. Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock. So here it talks about asking. Asking is not telling. Many people do not sense the difference between asking and telling. Some people talk to God like God is the servant and you are the boss. I have heard people even complaining like they did. Why didn't God answer me? By the way, be careful with those expressions because I know you're human, but sometimes you can push it too far. You may think that you treat your earthly parent that way, that it's okay to treat God the same way. Believe me, it is not. It can be a very, very harmful to you to address God that way. Not that God will inflict anything to you, but because, you know, when you push God away, who comes closer to you? The other Abba. This Abba has a D-O-N at the end, Abaddon. That's a different Abba that will come after you. And believe me, you don't want to do any business with that fella because he will come to destroy. Ask. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe is what enables the asking to become effective, to believe that you receive them. And then what happens? And we'll have them. So what is between you and receiving is not the asking, is the believing. Everybody can ask, but not everybody knows how to believe. So believe is very important. And by the way, I don't know if you have noticed, but in the center of believe, there is a lie, but there is also Eli. And you know what Eli means? He is by God. So it's up to you to decide what is believe really means to you. For me, believe is Eli. My God is present. And that's why I choose to believe. Mark 11. Now pray and according to his will. Many people pray and they don't receive. Because they do not know how to pray. And when I say that they do not know how to pray, it's not that you go and have a fancy conversation with God. By the way, don't try to be fancy with God. God knows you even before you were born. He knows all the details about your life. You don't need to be sophisticated. Talk to someone that you know that loves you more than anything else. And by the way, it came to my mind, says, I'm going to say this. God loves you more than your mother can ever love you. And if you know the love of a mother that really loves, is the closest concept that we have about what love is. But God can love you even greater than that. So, but it needs to be according to his will. Pray according to his will. And when you ask, here comes the asking again, third time. We ask, we receive from him. Because why? We do his will. If we live according to his will, what will come out of our mouth, what we'll be asking will be an expression of what is his will for us. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you want a God to have a look at you, do the things that is pleasing to his sight. and his eyes will be always upon you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, that's the New King James Version. Continue. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence here is related to faith. This is the faith that we have in him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to even to know God. Without faith, it's impossible to pray. You may talk, you may enunciate a lot of blah, 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 but it'll be without any meaning, any purpose. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. What is the key? His will. If it's according to his will, we can be sure that we will receive. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, also New King James Version. Again, another text. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Now, you know what Jesus Christ is saying this, because among the Pharisees, they would like to stay in a corner of a street. And the people pass by and see them there. For hours. And the people say, oh, that is a very saint man. That's a holy man. Do we have Pharisees? Are they still around? Until Jesus Christ comes, they are always around. And they are not only from the same denomination, they belong to many different denominations. And some of them are not even, we now call them even Christians. They are from other religions. People that are constantly, they dress in a very colorful dresses. They stay in the corner and people see them for hours and hours. And I'm not criticizing people, because only God knows the heart. Let me make this statement so you understand this. But I'm talking about those that pray just to call attention upon themselves. When people call attention upon themselves, who are they asking to be worshipped? When you put all that gold on top of you, when you put all those stuff on top of you so that everybody can look at you. And by the way, there's nothing wrong about looking nice, okay? I'm not, please don't go sloppy and say that the pastor said that. No, but when you do it with a purpose to call attention upon yourself so that you can be praised, be careful. Because that's exactly what got Lucifer to become Satan. If you read the Bible carefully, it says when he decided to say, oh, nobody's like me, that's when vanity conceived the destroyer. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. So you cannot see him, but he can see you. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like this because it says, you know, you do there something in secret, but God will reveal his blessings, his miracles, all in a very open, that everybody will know that you have a God. Matthew 6, verse 6 to 8. This is verse 6. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not use what? I want to hear you. Do not use what? As the heathen do. And some verse says as the Gentiles or the pagans do. Now, I mentioned this to you before. I was sent, I did some, probably my aunt believed that I was misbehaving in school. So she sent me to spend time with my grandmother. And I went to this grandmother. My grandmother was probably this tall. But that lady, wow. She would say, sit. I would not ask twice. She never raised her hand or anything else, but she has something about her that We knew that every time she said something, she meant. So I went to spend some time with her. And the first thing she did, she went to the store and bought a rosary. Everybody here knows what a rosary is? Right? A circle with a lot of little balls in it. And there's 50 this way, Hail Marys, and there's one Lord's Prayer between every 10. 10 Hail Marys, there is a Lord's Prayer, then another 10, and there is 50, and then there's three more, 53. And she told me, this is how you pray. And I thought there was going to be one per day. You know, I do this today, and next day I will do this one. Now she says, the whole thing. I said, the whole thing today? Yes. And I mentioned this to you before here, so I learned to cope with it. So what I did, I don't think there is in the world somebody who said a Hail Mary faster than I did. I was so anxious to go out and play. So she said, before you play, you pray. And so I had to go, and I did as fast as I could. Not once a week. Every day. And believe me, after a week of saying those Hail Marys, 53 times a day, you hear something, any reaction, you hear Hail Marys everywhere. Because it stays in your mind over and over again. Let me say something positive about this experience. None of those Hail Marys actually was talking to God directly. The church, through my grandmother, was telling me that I had to address Mary. And as we know, Mary is on the grave. She could not hear me. So the only one who could hear me is God. And I believe God did hear me, even though I was using the wrong prayer. Because I was sincere at 11 years of age. I believed that this was something that I need to do. So I did, and I did, and I did. And I did for a few years, until I arrived in a Seventh-day Adventist school. There, I didn't have anymore 100 people in one dorm. We had only 4 in our dorm. So whatever I did, the other kids could notice very well. So I wait for them to go to bed with turn off the light so I could say my Hail Marys. But one kid looked at me and said, why don't you close your eyes? You don't pray with your eyes open. That was the first remark. And I let it go. And then they said another thing. He said, why are you praying to the dead? Why don't you pray for the living? After a while, I came to a realization that maybe these people have a point. So I stopped those vain repetitions. But I did not know how to replace it. And so for a whole year, I didn't pray to anybody. I didn't use vain repetitions, but I did not know what else to replace with. Many people today are in church for quite a while. They stop doing the vain repetitions, but they have not replaced it with a proper way to talk to God. Sometimes we try to be very fancy. Sometimes I go attend all the churches. Sometimes I watch on television all the bigger churches. And I see sometimes people come to pray, and they don't feel comfortable to say whatever's in their minds because they are not used to the, you know, sometimes they get nervous. So they write, and we have quite a few people, they write their prayers. There's nothing wrong for you to write because the same one who inspired you to write inspires you also to read what you write. There's nothing wrong. But don't become so technical about talking to God. Talk to God as a friend. Open your hearts. Be expressive. It's not that you need to tell him what is wrong with your life, because he knows. All that he wants is for you to show that you trust him. Trust him, talk to him. Don't be like the Hayden that they just repeat because they says, I have an obligation. I do things because that's the way. God does not want your sacrifice. He wants you to call him a friend. For they think that they will be heard if they say you over and over and over again. By the way, some people, some humans use the same technique. They go until they torture to death. And then they say, can you hear me? I says, yeah, half an hour ago I did. But please, too many words does not build a sentence. Many people think that I need a lot of words to construct a thought, an idea. Sometimes even silence can be louder than many words. Come close to God. He knows your needs. Therefore, do not be like them. This is verse 8. For your Father knows the things you have need of. And what is the last? It says, before you ask him. Even before you ask him, he knows. So pray, brothers and sisters, about everything. You know, you talk to your friends about things that you maybe you shouldn't talk. Talk to God about everything. Let him know that you trust him. Don't worry about anything. Would you please look at this very carefully? Don't worry about anything. Is that possible for us not to worry about anything? God does not invite us to be careless. We have to be careful about things. We have to plan. That's not the same thing. It says, basically what he says, don't let your lack of faith to destroy you. That's what he's saying. It's not for us not to worry about things, because God wants us to be responsible. Say, oh, I need to pay this bill. Oh, but the Bible says, do not worry about anything. Oh, here there's a red light on my car saying that I need to change the oil. Oh, but the Lord says, do not worry about anything. And then when his smoke comes out, then you're going to see. That's not the word he's talking about here. Don't let your lack of faith interrupt your relationship with God. Don't focus so much on the things that are before you, because you may not be able to see what is behind. Have faith. Instead, pray about everything. Everything, whatever choice, no matter how more ridiculous are the things in your life, talk to God about it. Nothing is so sophisticated, nothing is so simple that God cannot hear. And God will say, yes. I don't know how many of you had the privilege to have children. And when they are 2 years old, or when they are three, when they say things that you look at yourself and says, what? But that's the way they express. God wants you to be that kid, to come and talk. It doesn't matter how sophisticated you can talk or how simple you can talk. He just wants to hear your voice. And let me say this before I forget. When you go before God, don't yap, 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 yap without stopping. Talk to God and pause. And you'll be able to start hearing God. Amen. A lot of people talk so loud to God and they never hear God, because they don't give a break. They don't. God says, okay, let me, now let me tell you. So have a discipline. Open your heart to God and pause. Pause not just for 1 second, but pause for a moment. And don't let your mind start being distracted. by anything else. Keep focus, and you'll be able to start listening to God's voice. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Grateful people are always the ones who receive double portions. It says here, pray about everything. Tell Him what you need, but be grateful. When you are grateful in little things, God keeps multiplying. So be thankful, be grateful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, New Living Translation. He is listening. Do you believe that? Yes. He is listening. He always is listening. Now, here is what we must do. We must believe. God always hears, always. But the belief is what makes the difference. If you want to receive, believe. The scriptures tells us, pray without ceasing. And some version says, don't stop praying. Should we start praying when we get up, right? Do you pray when you get up? First thing, before you even move from the bed, connect with God. And sometimes people say that, oh, in order for to connect with God, I need to be on my knees, I need to already brush my teeth, and I need to... No, no. Talk, let the first thing that comes to your mind when you get up, God. And when you put your feet on the ground, God. When you raise a cup to drink something, God. When you eat something, God. When it says here, praying without ceasing, doesn't mean says, oh Lord, I am here. No, it means that your mind through the whole day keep connected with God. Let your life be a life of a prayer. Don't pray only when things are so tough, because then you may be tempted to try to use God instead of talking to God. Always be joyful. Is it possible for us to be happy all the time? Is it?
Yes.
It's a choice. It's a choice. If you can be happy when things are tough, believe me how great will be your joy when things are not tough. And when you are tough and you are joyful, when things are very heavy for you and you're still joyful, the devil says, I'm going to leave this guy alone. All that I'm doing is not working. Believe me, it works. Never stop praying. Never. Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. It says here, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and through 18, New Living Translation. This does not mean that we are to spend all our time on our knees. That's not what it means. It means to have a life constantly in contact with God. Prayer in a time of crisis. Do you have crisis in your life?
Yes.
Do you have crisis in your life?
Yes.
But the question is, do you have Christ in your life?
Yes.
So if you have both, then you'll be okay. But if you have only one, meaning the negative one, insecurity. Do you know who this individual is holding this to here? It's supposed to be Moses. Did Moses have a hard time in his life?
Yes.
Yeah. You can read in Numbers 11, verse 14 and 15, New Century Version. It says, this is what Moses one day said. I can't take anymore. These people are driving me nuts. This must be the worst group of people ever. And Lord, you sent me to lead these people. I had a very sophisticated life there in Egypt. I was supposed to be Pharaoh. I was supposed to be, my name be known in the whole world. And here I'm with this bunch of complaining, these people that complains about everything. It is too much for me. By the way, I have heard people sometimes, they do very little and they say, oh, this is too much. God will never give you anything to carry if he does not know that you have the strength to do it. If you are going to continue doing this to me, now he's blaming God. He's no longer blaming the people. He's blaming God. Put me to death. First, he was wrong. God is not in the business of killing anybody anyway. But he says, put me to death. And then I won't have any more troubles. Yeah, the dead have no troubles. Only when they wake up. Numbers 11, 14, and 15. Now, what about Elijah? By the way, I chose some very powerful names for you to see that they are as human as you are. Okay? Elijah. Remember, this is the guy that went to heaven alive. And he's still there. This is the ones that are the Jewish people praise. You know, constantly they celebrate the Passover. They leave a open chair. It says, this is for Elijah to come. So they have him almost like the Catholic Church have those saints. They have Elijah. They talk about Elijah. This is the guy that run from a woman, Jezebel. Probably every one of us will be running from her too. She was a she-devil. Elijah, fear. 1 Kings 19, verse 3 and 4, Good News Translation, it says this. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Bathsheba in Judah, leaving the servant there. Now this is verse 3. Now verse 4 says this. Elijah walked a whole day in the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. They all have something in common, don't they? It is too much, Lord, he prayed. Moses said, it's too much. Elijah said, it's too much. Take away my life. That's verse 4. He says, I might as well be dead. Then there is this individual. Now, if you look at his face, you have a hint of who he is, right? Yes, that's him. Suffering. Job's words. Job's 3, verse 4. It says, why did I not die at birth? I think his mother did not know about abortion. Why did I not perish when I came to the womb? Job 3, verse 4. But I chose to show you something positive. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. You hear us talk about God. And then he said, but now my eyes see you. I went through the pain and I got so discouraged that I thought about it's better to be dead than to be alive. But now I know that it's better to be alive, even no matter what suffering. Because before, I just heard about you, but now my eyes can see you, Lord. I have been able to see you. Job 42, verse 5. And Job is the one who says, now I know that my Redeemer lives, and I shall see him. With my own eyes, I will see him. He prayed, and the Lord restored Job's losses. When he prayed for his friends, is when he took the eyes from him, from his suffering, when he stopped feeling sorry for himself, and he decided to look to those people that looks very, those so-called friends. Oh, by the way, they are church members. Imagine those church members when they came to Job. And Job was there suffering and everything else. And they look at Job and say, yeah, it's your fault. Stop nagging. You brought this upon yourself. That's what those friends did. And Satan was already writing a list of what he was going to do to all those three. And Job became a mediator. He intercedes for them. And what happened? Not only they were not attacked by Satan, but Satan had to remove his hands from Job. And when Satan removed his hands, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He got himself a brand new family, all the things that he needed in order to provide for his family. And he lived many more years to enjoy the presence of God. Amen. The God that now he could see. Before he only heard about him. But now, what about Jeremiah? We use Jeremiah because Jeremiah wrote something very positive. You know the plans. I have plans for you. You know that one? Here it comes. He also was disappointed. Yes, Jeremiah 20, verse 14, Good News translation, it says this. Curse the day I was born. Ouch. Forget the day my mother gave me birth. No more birthdays, please, no. No more birthdays, Jeremiah 20, verse 14. And then it says that he felt this way because, you know, he predicted something and didn't come through. So he says, oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm supposed to be a prophet. When I say something is going to happen, it does happen. But in his case, it didn't. He said, oh, my life is over. How many times we plan something and it doesn't come through, and we say, oh, why God doesn't listen to me? Why? My life is over. Poor me, poor me. For I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for a disaster. To give you a future and hope. Hang in there, kid. I am with you. I am the one who chose you even before you were born. You are a chosen vessel. Don't get discouraged. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That's what he said in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. 7, now 8 says, they are like trees planted along the river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. My brother Kisaka here, both of them, and also the young people, remember they shared with us, I think last year, it was last year that you went to in a safari? 2 years ago, right? And they showed some places, and there was some place that was very desert, but there was a unique place that has vegetation. And when you look at vegetation, so green, even from distance, what that means? There is water there. And so it came to my idea, to my mind. It says they are like trees planted along the river bank or close to where the water is, with roots that reach deep into the water. And then it says such trees are not bothered by the heat. Now think about those trees as you. And think about that water, source of water, as Jesus Christ is the living water. Also the Bible, the font of living water. Now, think about putting your roots deep onto the Word of God. And then it says, the heat won't bother you. Or you won't be worried about the long months of drought. Your leaves will stay green. And they will never stop producing fruit. God is talking about you. Now, who this individual is? You find out if you could see that why there in the back, there's a big fish there. Jonah, he had a resentment against a job that God gave him. God told him, I have an assignment for you. By the way, everyone over here, every single person that is here has received an assignment identical of Jonah. There are people out there perishing. Don't go home and just sit in front of your television and spend all your time doing other things. Remember, God gave you the knowledge of the truth so you can become an instrument of salvation. He was sent and he refused. God said, no, you got to go. And he went. And because he went there, a whole city, and some estimate that more than 150,000 people that were supposed to be killed were saved because he prayed. And the Lord listened to him. Now then, Lord, let me die. Oh, poor me. I'm better off dead than alive. And he gave all that excuse. But when he was there in the belly of the fish, he said, oh, no, I want to live. Pray in the Spirit at all the time. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. For all believers everywhere, pray for your brothers and sisters. Now we have people suffering persecution in other parts of the world. We have people receiving persecution here in the United States. People here in the United States are being intimidated for not having faith. Here, Ephesians 6, verse 18, New Living Translation. Now, forgiveness. We are almost about close, okay? Forgiveness. Jesus answered to you and to myself. There at the cross, when he was suffering, when he was going through all that pain, this is what he said. He decided to pray. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. When people do something to harm you, do you have this kind of a spirit, this praying spirit? Pray to those that persecute you. Pray for those that try to harm you. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Satan is leading them, and they are doing the devil's work. Luke 23, verse 34, New King James. Then, one of those two, the one on the right, decided, you know what? This really is the Son of God. Then he talked to him and said, Master, remember me when you get into paradise. This is what Jesus told him. Surely, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, I put all those things there, the comma, because in Greek, there's no comma, okay? So Jesus did not say, like some people put a comma, say, surely I say to you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. This did not say today, because Jesus did not go to paradise that day, okay? So he says, surely I say to you, today. Today, I'm telling you for sure. It's a sure thing. You will be with me in paradise. I want you to hear very well, because Jesus is saying the same thing to you. You will be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43, New King James Version. The sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. Romans 8:18, New Century Version. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16, verse 15 says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Why don't you mark this in your Bible? Read this. Those are powerful statements. Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16, New Living Translation. Pray that you will not give in to temptation. Luke 22, verse 40, New Living Translation. Now, Jesus is the model. If you look at the Gospels, if you see every circumstance Jesus was praying, he is the one that we should imitate. In the Bible, we have essential direction on how we should approach God. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5, verse 16. And in conclusion, brothers and sisters, I'd like to say this to you. Maranatha. Do you know what the word Maranatha means? Come, Lord Jesus. We are all looking for Abba to come. That will be, you know, that is exactly what we are all waiting for. All right, so again, let's sing together our hope when we all get to heaven.